throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports and a Mole. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of things to talk about. We can talk about the Thunder, Big 12 hoops. Man, what a crazy league. Halfway through, everybody has at least three losses. Oklahoma is sitting two games out of last and two games out of first. At 4-5. It's pretty crazy. Right at the halfway point. So there's that. All right, Super Bowl. We're going to start talking about the Super Bowl, but not the game just yet. We don't want a whole week of breaking it down, do we?
Well, NFL Network is.
Well.
They've been doing it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, I know. Everybody else can do it. We'll wait till at least
there's nothing on yesterday. I turned to the NFL Network. They had like pregame. I'm like, what are we pregaming?
Excuse me, Jared. Live Golf. Live Golf was on.
Well.
Don't forget about it, Live.
I was really looking forward to the, the AT&T?
Yes.
And then.
It's over.
It's done.
54 holes. So now wait a minute. The PGA Tour, their first elevated event of the year, ends up being a no-cut 54-hole event. You going to tell me what the difference is between the Tour and Live?
Well.
Anyhow. Yeah, that's a bunch of the different guys talked about it. There's no way they could have played like the full – I mean, because the weather – it was the balls have been rolling off the green and all that. But – you know what you wish? You wish they'd have loaded up like 10 or 15 of them and taken them out to number 7. Number 7 is the famous par 3 that's like 94 yards, can stretch to over, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the wind, you know, on Wednesday, Tony Finau hit a driver.
I saw that, yes.
From 90-something yards. It wouldn't have been quite like that, but I know Justin Thomas and some others said, you know, I get it. We can't play. It's just a complete swamp out there. But people would love, and those guys like that. Just take us to 7 and hit a couple of shots.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
People hit shots just to.
I mean, they're still athletes. They're still competitors. They want, right? They want to do that.
Yeah, and just to show, I mean, that would, you know, you think about those guys. A 5-iron is a 225-yard club, and it's taken them a 5-iron. To hit it 99 or whatever.
Yeah.
That'd be cool, but I understand why it didn't happen. So, Super Bowl wise, what has been your favorite Super Bowl ever? Doesn't necessarily have to be the best game, but your favorite Super Bowl. What do you think has been the best game in the history of the 57 Super Bowls? You know, when we were growing up, it seemed like every single year the NFC would kick the teeth out of an AFC team there for a long stretch. But now it feels like the Super Bowl has been good game after good game a lot of the years. Is that kind of makes sense, right, with the parity that it feels like that's in the league? Is that kind of proof of that? And then if you could pick the uniform matchup at a certain venue, like what would be your dream Super Bowl matchup, uniform-wise, and where would that game be played? It's kind of outside the Super Bowl stuff. We had all this quiz. We had the quiz on Friday with you and Scott. So we can talk about some of that. Just kind of memories of the Super Bowl. High school hoops from Friday. Regular season winding down with the A and B playoffs starting Thursday. There's still a couple of games scattered here at the first of the week. Today or some, but for the most part, it's playoff time, baby, in high school hoops. 2A through 4A assignments were released on Friday. We can tell you where Elk City, Merritt are going. Anybody else, if you're curious, in 2A through 4A, we can tell you that. And then, of course, the Tucker family beef, 8 for State. It is the week I've received a couple of submissions, but I know there's way, way, way more people out there that are going to be playing this contest. So get those submitted either on that Facebook post. You can comment there or just text us, 225-9698. Text us your Tucker Family Beef 8 for State and your chance to win a great prize pack brought to you by Tucker Family Beef. 225-9698 is that text line, 225-9698. Give us a text. We can talk about anything that you would like to talk about from over the weekend. It would be just fine at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside of the listening area, you can stay in touch by logging on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. And, of course, it's got Big Elk and Paragon TV. High School Hoops will be available right there. And it's going to be on Sports Podcast. If you miss the show entirely, you can find it about anywhere podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
Real good. How are you doing?
Oh, sad breaking news.
What's that?
Victor Hovland has withdrawn from this week's Waste Management Phoenix Open.
Oh, darn. Why?
I don't know. It just says he withdrew. He withdrew. Hope he's okay.
Hopefully it's nothing major.
Yeah, hope he's all right.
Yeah. Well, darn.
Or could this be, you know, Tyrrell Hatton withdrew from the tournament this last week also.
Think it's a sign.
And then he was on the LIV golf tour. You always got to think of that right now.
It's always a possibility.
And, man, what a difference. Now, this week, if they could have played yesterday, the tour had a really good leaderboard for Sunday, unlike last week. But, man, then you flip it over there to LIV. You got Rahm and Sergio and Cam Smith and DJ and Koepka and then Joaquin Neiman. You know that.
Is that still on the CW?
Yes.
Okay.
It is. I tuned in for a little bit. Watched a little bit of it yesterday. All right, High School Hoops on Friday night right here in the big town of Elk City. It was senior night. Turned out not to be the last game that those seniors are going to play on the floor of the Pioneer Center. We'll tell you why that is here in just a second. But senior night for the regular season finale at the Pioneer Center. I was really expecting the girls' game to be an absolute battle between Elk City and Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Started out that way, but then, man, the Elkettes were awesome in the second half, and they cruised to a 60-29 win. Really, it was tied 8-8 after the first quarter, and from there, 52-21 the rest of the way. Elk City was just fantastic. Abby Brown didn't have her best shooting night, really had trouble finishing at the rim, which you don't see that very often. But she still scored like 18. Campbell Garbarino had 11. Lucy O'Hara had 7, but that doesn't tell you even close to how she affected the game, especially defensively. Coach Hamming kind of referenced it after the game, like, not so sure she might not be the best defender that Elk City has as a freshman. She really understands where to be and can get there, more importantly. But she was really good. The seniors get shown off with a win there now. Start the road trip tomorrow at Duncan, Friday at Kingfisher, and then the final regular season game a week from today down at Cash before the playoffs begin. And those playoffs will begin here in Elk City as Elk City is going to host a district. On the boys' side, they just never really had it. Early it was close, but then once Newcastle kind of started pulling away, the Elks just didn't have enough to hang, and they get beat 72-42. Alex Cupp and Blake Red, the two seniors there. Alex came alive in the second half, kind of like he did against Chickasha, but it just wasn't enough. So the Elks couldn't figure out enough ways to get enough stops against Newcastle offensively. So 72-42 Newcastle wins, and obviously the Elks are doing the same thing. Coming up these next three, though, I think that the Big Elks have a chance to really kind of create some momentum for themselves at the end of the regular season. Going down to Duncan. Duncan is a winnable game. At Kingfisher is a very winnable game. And then Cash, you know, they beat the Elks pretty good at Washington, but that was without Bowie and Webb. So take your chances down there in that last regular season game a week from today. Around the area, Merritt swept Arapahoe Butler on Friday. Well, the Reds 51-27, the Oilers 46-42. Ceiling knocked off Cheyenne twice. The girls' game is 85-57. The boys was 51-26. Hammond and Duke split. The Lady Warriors hammered Duke 66-30. And then the Warriors, man, they're close. And then Duke kind of pulled away in that last quarter to win 40-28. And then Sarah and Hollis split. Sarah girls beat Hollis 49-26. The boys for Hollis, the Tigers beat the Sarah Eagles 68-50. I'll go real quick to Saturday. Arapahoe Butler and Granite. Arapahoe Butler swept Granite 46-15 in the girls' game, 57-51 in overtime in the boys' game. That's a pretty good win for AB.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. And then the 270 Conference Championship trophies are headed to Leedy, both of them. The Leedy Bison beat Shattuck 70-55. The Lady Bison, first time in three chances, they knocked off Arnett 61-54. So both Leedy teams are the 270 Conference champs. And then you, Jared, were at home against Burns Flat Deal City.
Yeah, question, Friday night, could you hear the thunder in the Pioneer Center?
You know what? I could, but I didn't realize that's what it was. it was one of those things like,
yeah, what is that?
Was that thunder? Surely not.
That's a first for me. I never called a basketball game during a spring storm that blew through.
There was a couple of different times where I thought, I think that was somebody rolling something behind me or what's happening?
Yeah, obviously I'm in a smaller venue, so it was a little louder, and I could hear the thunder first in that. During a break, I took my headset off, and you could hear it.
Yeah, you hear it rain?
I couldn't hear it when I had my headset on. Uh-huh. I didn't, but I realized it was thunder, and I was keeping an eye on it on my phone. The radar is kind of cool to hear. I mean, it wasn't like sleet or snow or anything like that. It was a spring storm, it felt like. It wasn't severe. It's kind of cool. But it was Burns Flat Deal City visiting Canute, and I left my papers downstairs so I can just go off of memory. But Trojanettes got their 20th win of the year, easily winning 71-22 over Burns Flat. The boys, physical battle for them. They got the win, pulled away in the second half, won it 95-70. And shot the ball really well. Everybody did. That's two games in a row where everybody has shot the ball really well, especially from outside. And I've said it since the beginning of the season and now. If that happens, they're a very potent offense team that it's going to be hard to stop and hard to slow down. Hopefully that's a good sign for them. But in Burns Flat, though, I got to talk about them and what Coach Kalk's doing over there. He started some freshmen and kind of like I think it was like, all right, it's – writing's on the wall. Let's develop these kids. They got a young man, Joseph Plaza. That kid could play. He could shoot it. He can drive. Soft floaters. Nice touch on his shot. Very impressed. So keep an eye on that kid moving forward because he's going to be the leader of that offense, leader of that team, if not already. Because he was 1 point shy of the game high. That honor went to Jackson Beck, who had another stellar night shooting. But right behind him was Joseph Plaza. That kid was pretty good. But they fall, and now Canute will turn their attention to Corn Bible Academy on Tuesday night on the road over there at Clinton to wrap up the regular season. And then they're back at home hosting district. They'll await the winner between Arapahoe Butler and Burns Flat Deal City. The boys game, just from what I said, as athletic as Burns Flat can be, I might pop in and check that one out. And, it wouldn't shock me either way who would win that game because Coach Rogers and his team, they've been coming on. You mentioned the good win that they had versus Granite. That Burns Flat team, if they can get rolling offensively, defense needs a little work, but if they can get rolling offensively, that could be a high-scoring type of game, especially with, win or go home on the line. So I can't really tell you who I think would win that one, to be honest. But yeah, good bounce back win, especially for the girls. I was worried about we talk about a lot about how a loss can beat you twice with how they lost to Hammond last Tuesday. They responded nicely. They needed that. I didn't care what the opponent's record was. It's just nice to see them get back into what they can do. Doing what they can do. Destiny Jackson had a nice game. That was nice to see. Kendall Schuster had a nice game too. And I know it was Burns Flat, and they're a little down this year. But like I said, despite the opponent, it's just it's kind of like an internal battle. How do they respond after losing the way they did? And they responded very nicely. So now on the road, Corn Bible Academy girls, Tammy Bates has them with a winning record. They had a close one, only lost by 5 to Sentinel, if memory serves me right, on Friday night. But, I mean, that's one, you know, you want to wrap up the regular season, and hopefully you're not overlooking them if you're the girls. The boys should be fine. But, and here we go. I mean, it's playoff week for small school. Here we go.
It is here. It is here starting on Thursday in a lot of places. Also, so we've known the A and B.
Yeah.
Playoff assignments. What we haven't known was the 2A through 4A. That happened late on Friday afternoon. I mentioned Elk City is going to host district. They will host Bishop McGinnis. McGinnis girls 11-8. I didn't see the result on the Friday. The McGinnis boys won to go to. Let's see. Maybe they don't have all the games in there because it says 11-8 and 7-11. Seems like one of them's missing one, or one of them has too many. Anyhow, but McGinnis won, so 8-11. For them, common opponents a little bit for those two teams. Chickasha, McGinnis girls beat them by 8. That's kind of how the Elk City game went. I think Elk City beat them 46-41. Elkettes haven't played Cash or Duncan or Kingfisher just yet. But those are going to be common opponents once that happens. The McGinnis boys destroyed Chickasha 75-25, lost to Tuttle, lost to Duncan. And like I said, actually they beat Duncan twice. I'm sorry, lost to Tuttle. And then they've got Kingfisher Tuesday. Elk City's got Kingfisher Friday. So, you know, there'll be some of those games where maybe you can get a little bit of a gauge as far as, but it seems the one outlier would be that just domination over Chickasha by the McGinnis boys. Everything else seems fairly similar on both sides. So it could be two pretty good games. And I think a big part of why it's here is because then the next week at regionals is at Bethany. So instead of giving McGinnis the ability to be home and then go however far that is, not very far from McGinnis to Bethany, they have to drive out here. And then, of course, Elk City has to drive up to Bethany. Bethany is the main site, and that's where Elk City will play every game next week. Some other teams, like for Bethany drew Clinton in district. And so the winners will play Thursday evening. The losers will play Thursday afternoon. So no offense to anybody over there, but, you know.
It is what it is.
Yeah. If the Elkettes win, they'll play Bethany. If they lose, they'll play Clinton. Boys, probably the same thing as well as far as the regionals go. The the whole area will meet up at Okmulgee. And so the other regional is the Bristow Regional. Teams like Stigler, Poteau, Wagner, North Rock Creek, Bristow, Stillwell, Salisaw, Tulsa, Hale. The teams in this regional with Elk City, Bridge Creek and Purcell. I mentioned us and McGinnis, Bethany and Clinton, and then Newcastle and Harding Fine Arts is the other team. So rankings-wise, you've got number 1 in 4A at Bethany, number 5, Stillwell, number 11, Wagner, number 15, Purcell, and number 19, North Rock Creek. Good news for the Elkettes is that of the 5 teams, only 2 of those ranked teams are in their regional. See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a – obviously, if you win, you play Bethany, but there's a chance that if that doesn't go well, you can make it to the area tournament without having to play anybody else that's ranked, if Purcell and Bethany is the regional final, right? Mm-hmm. So that's good news. Boys' side, it's the opposite. It's 3 teams ranked in the Elkettes or the Big Elks regional, 2 up top in the other. Number 3, North Rock Creek, which the Elks have played. That wouldn't happen until an area. Then number 7, Bethany. Number 13, Bridge Creek. Number 14, Stillwell. And then number 20, the team we saw on Friday, Newcastle. I have a hard time believing there's 19 better teams in Newcastle out there. They were pretty good. The record's not the greatest, 14-7, but you never know who they play.
Yeah.
They are pretty good. You could easily see them, you know, I guess them and Bridge Creek could be a potential first round of regional game. That's number 7 and number 13 in the state. You don't normally see that till at least the regional final. So, that, you know, that's a tough road, obviously, for both of those teams. But for Bethany and Bridge Creek, I mean, I'm sorry. It would be 13 and 20. I'm sorry. Bridge Creek and Newcastle would be that game. Then the winner might be en route to play Bethany. But all in all, you get district at home. That's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's an opportunity. And you mentioned the both teams playing well, even in losses. So that's a good thing. You said McGinnis. My mind immediately went, wow, McGinnis. What's happened to McGinnis?
Well, you used to, you know.
They were, the boys especially, obviously, were perennial contenders.
It used to be incredible. I mean, those two teams, I was mentioned this Friday, you know, there's a big-time state tournament history between those two.
Yeah.
You know, my junior and senior year playing that team that had Terrence Crawford and Junior Amos and Jonathan Blewett and Merritts, you know, beat us twice back-to-back years in the semifinals and then went on to win 4 straight in 4A boys, one of them against Weatherford. I think the other was against Wagner in those 2 years. Then fast forward to Kay Davis's junior year. That was a heck of a game in the Big House. I believe it was a quarterfinal, though. So the first round. And they had Daniel Orton, went on to play at Kentucky. Obviously Davis on our side. That was a really good game. You know, and I think they actually played in the regular season back then a couple of times, maybe here and there when Davis was around. So, you know, girls-wise, not so much. But the boys, there's a history there, a small one, or at least for that, you know, 8 years of time or 10 years, that one decade. They played some big-time games.
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
Merit-wise, the Oilerettes will host not only district, but they are also a sub-site for the first round of regionals. Merit draws Sayre in the district tournament. On the girls' side, you've got number 3 Merit, number 5, is it Oaktaha? Did we decide it's Oaktaha?
I think it's Oaktaha.
13 Cashin, 14 Hartshorne, and then number 20 Central Salisaw. Which, man, that's a wide swath of an area. The area is at Enid at the Stride Bank Center. But good grief. You're talking about some Tulsa teams, Southeastern Oklahoma teams. Their regionals at Ketchum, but then they got to go clear to Enid for area. That's a pretty good haul.
Yeah.
But we had talked about it with Merritt being kind of the lone ranger
here. Yeah, they're kind of.
You know, in years past, you might see Hooker, you might see AMPO. You know, there's been at least a couple of teams that have been able to, where it maybe didn't spread out like this. But this time, it just wasn't the case. You know, Riverside could have been, but they chose not to put those two teams together. So then when you look outside of, you know, Dale's Shawnee, Riverside, obviously, Anadarko, then Merritt. Well, they couldn't put them together because they're 2 and 3. Never mind, I'm an idiot. That wasn't even a possibility. So when you look at who it could have been, Oaktaha, Van Noss, Preston, and Warner, yeah, nobody's even close. You know, nobody's even in the vicinity. And so it's going to be a pretty good haul for a whole bunch of teams to get to Enid by the time we get to that that area tournament. On the boys' side, Hooker is number 3, Ketchum number 7, Oaktaha number 9, Fairview number 12. I feel like I missed somebody, but sometimes there's only 4. But with a swath like that, you'd think they would have been able to find 5, right? Oh, yeah, Warner. There they are. Nope, Warner's not. Looking, efforting. Maybe I didn't miss anybody. Anyhow, there may just be 4 ranked teams in that that area. That happens sometimes. So, but the Oilerettes rolling all season long, a real contender in Class 2A. Not only to make the state tournament, but I think they're once they get there would be a contender to win some games at the Big House. So good stuff. 2A through 4A set. Brackets come out Thursday, so we'll know when those games are. Historically, if you look at how it normally sets up, You'd think Merritt and Sarah would play Friday. Elk City and Bishop McGinnis would play Saturday. Because they're, you know, a lot of times when you look at District 1 and District 4, the top and the bottom are Fridays. The middle two are Saturdays. But we'll see officially once that bracket comes out.
And is that, that is because of, well, I mean, we think because we saw that in Class B with the four-team districts, they're playing on Thursday, then waiting. Officials, right?
No, it's always been that way.
It's always been that way?
Yeah. Just those two-teamers. Two of them play on Friday, too. It might always be that problem because you've also got regionals going on in A and B.
Yeah, that's true.
So it could be. Just to spread it out, I'm sure that is exactly why it's always – but it's nothing new.
Yeah, I think it's cool. You can get – so it's –
well, it might give you a chance to go watch.
Go watch them both, yeah.
Coaches can go scout and
that
kind of thing.
Oh, that too, yeah. But, I mean, just as a fan, you can just, okay, on Friday and go here, on Saturday and go here, and we got some good basketball just miles apart.
Yeah, the one thing about – the interesting thing about at least the district to the first game of regionals for Elk City, and it goes the same with Clinton and it goes the same with Bethany, all three of those teams are in the same conference, so they're familiar – with each other. They've all seen, you know what I'm saying? That's a little bit of an anomaly from what it could be. But, you know, those brackets will come out on Thursday. And we'll be ready to go. Everybody's bracket will be out. And there'll be games going on. I know Leedy plays Thursday in Class B to start their playoff run. So, we'll have it up on the schedule. Paragon TV. Don't forget, Tucker Family Beef, 8 for state. Get your picks in. Class A and B state tournament teams. Should have 32 of them. It's going to be fun.
It is.
I'll tell you, I had a question about that maybe we can talk about when we come back. We're always on the lookout for a healthy, homegrown, satisfying snack that we can eat on the go. Tucker Family Beef has just that snack with Made in Oklahoma Tucker Family Beef Sticks, now available in two flavors, regular or jalapeno and cheese. Tucker Family Beef still specializes raising prime beef that you can purchase in bulk with halves or wholes that come from all natural, no hormone added, high quality cattle. Check out their entire selection at TuckerFamilyBeef.com. Since 1917 at Tucker Family Beef, it's what they don't do that makes it great.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back, Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal, hanging out here on a Monday. Okay, so I had this question, and it made sense. The question was, on the Tucker Family Beef 8 for state, so you pick your 32. You pick your 8 state tournament teams from Class A and Class B, boys and girls. But the question was, okay, once we get to the state tournament, do I have to stick with those teams? The answer to that is absolutely not. So, I mean, it was more of, okay, what if I pick so-and-so and they lose and don't get there? Am I stuck not getting to pick them?
No.
And the answer is no. You'll get a point for each team you get correctly to the state tournament. And then once we get to the state tournament, the brackets will be released, and then you'll just fill out all four brackets. You're not bound to any teams whatsoever. You're just trying to get the most out of 32, and then from there you fill out the bracket the way you think it's going to go. Which, I mean, the reason why that would make sense, because, you know, everybody and their dog is going to pick ceiling girls to make the Class A girls state tournament.
Of course.
If something were to happen and they didn't, then, you know, are you stuck without your champ? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the answer is no. So you pick your teams, and then once we get to the state tournament, you'll fill out the brackets. And the point system is up on our Facebook page, a point for each team that you correctly predict starting right now. And then you get a point for winning for the first round in the state tournament, 2 for second round, and 3 if you pick the champ. And then we add them all up. And whoever wins an awesome prize pack from Tucker Family Beef. 4 prime ribeyes, 4 prime fillets, 8 hamburger patties, and 20 of the snack sticks, the beef sticks. Second place will get 20 of those as well. And then what was last? A dog bone?
A dog bone.
A dog bone. So, There you have it. That's the rules. So either text us in on the show, 225-9697. Or, that's Tradio. 225-9698. 225-9698 is the text line here. So you can text us your teams, or you can post it in the comments of the Facebook page. When I, preferably the one that I had the rules on, right?
Easy to track, yeah.
Yeah, but we'll find them all as they come rolling in. Okay, Jared, it is Super Bowl week. Have you ever been to a Super Bowl? Have you ever even been in the city that was having it at the time? You know, just being there for something else?
No. No. I was about to say my aunt, but no, I was wrong. She actually lived in Dallas in the 90s when they won it. And she was, I remember her telling me how the city, like when it went final, it's like everybody in the city, horns honking, people screaming, going crazy. But no, as far as being in a city where, no, I have not. I hear it's crazy, even if you're not going to the game.
Yeah, so I saw some pictures of Radio Row.
Yeah.
Which, being in Vegas, it's like to a totally different level.
Was it like showgirls there?
Well, you just, you know, like, I know Fat Jack's going to be out in front of the Bellagio.
Okay.
With what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think it was him. But, yeah, there's different, you know, it's just all through there. And, of course, you know, people, athletes go and they talk and then they hawk something. They're selling something.
Right.
You know, this and that. But it looks like an absolute disaster.
Circus. That's yes. A circus or a... an S show.
I wonder which location would be the best fan wise
for Radio Row.
No. For like just ease of getting to the game. You know, because like when it was at Jerry World,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of people were pretty upset about it because at that point there weren't as many things built up around it as there are even now, 13 years later. So there was a lot of travel, driving.
Mm, yeah.
And it just so happened that was when there was a big old, remember the ice storm? You know, people from the Northeast are like, these people don't know how to handle this. And we're like, yeah, you're right. This doesn't happen like this
not
here.
North Texas,
like it normally does, yeah. Maybe other places. I know it would seem like New Orleans, everything would be walking distance. Or yeah. A lot of it,
yeah.
You know, I've heard that Indianapolis. You'd think like, ugh, cold, but I guess their downtown area, you can get around a lot of places like inside. You know, like the SkyTrack that goes from one of the hotels in Oklahoma City, like to the Thunder.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they have that everywhere. So you
okay?
And it's all down, and it's all in their downtown area. So you'd think, oh, I don't want to, you know, be in a northern cold weather city. But you don't necessarily have to deal with that because you can get to where you want to go inside. That'd be kind of cool. You know, Miami.
I think Miami is my answer.
Would that be it?
You would hope that, or right now they're getting a lot of rain, but more often than not, you're getting almost perfect weather for February, like maybe lower 70s. And then you talk about walking around and, for all the weather purposes, yeah, I think that would be maybe one of my answers. I don't know about New Orleans. It just seems so – every city has its faults, but it just seems dirty to me. I don't know if I'd want to be a part of that. Vegas is going to be fun, though. I think I'm really interested to see the atmosphere of Vegas, you know, outside of it. You know, how do they incorporate the entire city? For you mentioned the Radio Row stuff, you know, and all the – casinos and everything. It just seems wild and seems like a new venture that's going to be really fun to watch unfold. I haven't really paid attention this last week. I'm sure this week going into it, we're going to see more and more of it. You know, the strip and everything. Seems crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, it just seems like it could be crazy fun.
Oh, I think so. I'm
interested in the game itself. I saw a thing, and I'm still sticking with this. I mentioned Wayne Newton's going to be a pop-up singer during the halftime show or something like that. I saw you ever watch Sunday Morning on CBS?
No.
Well, they're doing a thing about how is Vegas preparing or how did Vegas get here? Because it used to be pro sports in Vegas was frowned upon. Like, they wouldn't touch it. And now here we are. We got the Raiders there. We got the Super Bowl there. The A's are coming. The NHL franchise there. So they're just talking about the preparation of it all. And they interviewed Wayne Newton. And I was like, okay, they're hinting at this. Because at the very end they said, and Wayne Newton will be at the Super Bowl, watching the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's going to be there. It's Vegas, right? So I think it's going to happen. Well, yeah. L.A., what do you think about L.A.? Well, they posted, but their new stadium, and where else do you think?
Oh, I mean, to me, the perfect spot, Miami would be one most years. But every year that it's in Phoenix, would that almost be too much if you tried to make the Phoenix Open, like go to the Waste Management?
Oh,
and
man.
Then, I mean, I'm not talking about even going to the game, but getting somewhere to watch the game. That almost feels like too much, right? I mean, that's a lot going on, especially if you do the Waste Management the way a bunch of people do the, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
the Waste Management.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be a long day or two.
Yeah, that'd be wasted for sure. Yeah. It would not be. You wouldn't remember the Super Bowl. You'd be lucky to make it to halftime if you go to Waste Management first.
I think that's true. I do. I think it would be too much. It would be too much. What is your favorite Super Bowl?
I've thought long and hard about this since you've asked the question 30 minutes ago. I go to. There's a lot of contenders there. I saved it. 34? Just because of how that game was played and how it ended, it felt like I was watching a movie.
You're going to have to tell us which one
that is. Oh, St. Louis and Tennessee.
Okay.
A yard away. That game was, again, it felt like it played out like a movie. The dramatics of it in that fourth quarter. It came down to the very last play. So that one always, if it came on like NFL Network on a random Sunday afternoon in April, I'd probably watch it all. What about you?
Oh, my favorite is, what would that be? Super Bowl 27? Yeah, Super Bowl 27. When the Cowboys destroyed the Bills. For their first of three. That was just awesome. For obvious reasons, mm-hmm. It's my favorite.
That seemed like an easy answer, though, for me.
Well, I mean, that's...
I mean, you could pick any one of them, I guess, but that would be the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was... where it was in Pasadena.
Sure, yeah.
Makes it cool, you know, and just that... I don't think it's ever it's always the best the first time, right? As far as your team winning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
It's always that way. And then maybe you become jaded, especially with the run they had. It's like, oh, yeah. Well, check it out, another Super Bowl win. Boy, this is going to be – will they ever not win the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Let this be a warning, Chiefs fans.
Yeah. Well,
it won't last forever.
Will this ever not be a time when when the Cowboys are making the Super Bowl? Turns out, yes.
Yeah, well.
Turns out you can go 28 years without it.
So grow a lot of gray hairs between them, yeah.
Which game has been the best game, in your opinion?
Well, I mentioned that game. That's one of why it was one of my favorites, because it was one of the best games. How about the New England versus Giants? You're gonna have to help me with the year, but the helmet catch,
2007.
Yeah, because of it, I think everybody in the world went in thinking this is gonna be a lopsided victory, and it turned into a really good game with, again, dramatics. Like, mm-hmm. I just mentioned, the helmet catch and then the Giants upsetting them. So that game, I was prepared to lose attention. I was prepared to not pay attention anymore. You know, I mean, it'll still be on, but, you know, where's the chips and dip in the third quarter, you know? But I was locked in the entire time.
Steelers, Cowboys have played really good Super Bowls. 21-17 Steelers, I think, what, 35-31 Steelers back in the 70s. And, of course, the Cowboys, really a game that a lot of people thought they would win pretty easily in 1995, or that season. But the Steelers were ready to go, and they played really, really well. And it took Larry Brown intercepting Neil O'Donnell at the end to go ahead and kind of put the capper on that one. But they played good games. There's been a ton. Man, New England's played a ton of them. I mean, from the very first one against the Rams, which is an easy pick. Dakota had the comeback against the Falcons.
It's a good one.
You know, the Seahawks game the year before. You know, the Malcolm Butler interception on the goal line.
There's some recent incredible ones. Incredible. Yeah.
But that goes to, like, the next question about, like, when we were kids, it was a butt whipping. Every year it seemed like whoever the sacrificial lamb was for the AFC, and a bunch of those years it was either Denver or Buffalo.
Well, I was about to say I just looked it up. I couldn't remember the year. The 98 Super Bowl, that was it, 32? Denver and Green Bay.
That was
a real fun one.
But that was one of the first good games that you'd had in the Super Bowl since the Montana-Cincinnati Bengal one. And that was a decade.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Other than that, it seemed like the NFC was just killing the AFC. You know, the Dallas-Pittsburgh game was pretty good. And then, you know, the next year, the Packers handled New England pretty easily. And then you had the Elway story. That was a good one. I mean, a bunch of those Brady ones were good. But I think, and Scotty mentioned it, and we talked about a couple of plays from it, that Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl was awesome. It was fantastic. That was a really good game that came down to one of the best plays that's ever been made with Ben and Santonio Holmes after it looked like Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald had stolen it away. That's one that I will remember as being one of the better games. Well played. You know, played. Wasn't a lot of craziness as far as, like, officials or controversy. You know, I don't. Is it wrong to think the giant one? It was a huge upset, but also is it wrong to just think that was so lucky that I, you know, pinning it against his head like that? I don't know. Part of me just, the next time they played was a really good game too. When the Welker drop, not drop, was it Brady's fault? Was it Welker? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was another one. That was a really good game between those two. And think of this: does this mean that Eli Manning is the best quarterback of all time? Because Brady is the only one that was able to beat Mahomes, and then Eli was 2-0 in the Super Bowl against Brady.
Well, if you believe in the transitive property, absolutely.
Another good one: Colts. Saints, that was a good one. It came down to Peyton throwing a pick six when he was at the absolute height of his powers, and little Drew Brees was able to get it done. Big moments in that. Garrett Hartley kicked like a couple of 50-yard field goals.
Yeah,
there was one of those surprise onside kicks that the Colts weren't able to handle. New Orleans recovered.
That Saints team, as that season went on, it just felt like that's a team of destiny. Felt like this is the year that they're going to win it all, and Drew Brees is going to win it all.
Favre, when they could have set up. I mean, that really probably should have been Adrian Peterson's Super Bowl in the NFC title game. Minnesota was in field goal range before it ever went to overtime, and Favre threw a pick for absolutely no reason. And then the Saints go on to win the whole thing. If you could pick two teams, and this is a uniform matchup plus where it's at, what would be like your, like, for your viewing pleasure, like literally your eyes and being like, man, this is awesome. I love the way this looks on the screen.
Well, now I'll go with the easy answer of Dallas Cowboys, star on the helmet, silver pants, all that, versus we've seen it, but Pittsburgh. That it just because of the nostalgia of it, but there a couple of franchises have been in the league. Well, I'll take it back. Take it back. Give me Dallas and Kansas City. And man, I almost want to go back to Pasadena, but it seems too small of a venue for the Super Bowl nowadays. Even though it holds over 100,000 plus. I mean, I don't want to go to a new venue. Superdome. Yeah, New Orleans. Dallas, Kansas City, and New Orleans. Now, I guess the Mercedes Dome, but it's always going to be the Superdome. What about you?
It's hard not to go Pittsburgh in the AFC.
I know.
With that iconic
uniform. Can I give a second answer? How about Green Bay in Kansas City?
Yeah, it's like Green Bay, Pittsburgh was a really good one.
Yeah.
Down in Jerry World. That was a fantastic one. How about this one? How about Dallas and the Raiders in the Rose Bowl?
Wow. Dallas and the Raiders.
I could go Green Bay Raiders. Here's the thing. On the NFC side, I think there's four that are iconic and are awesome every time you see them. Maybe five, but four for sure. Dallas, Green Bay, the Niners, and the Bears.
Yeah.
But it has to be the home uniform. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, Dallas is the white. I mean, we're used to them in white. But, you know, the navy blue Bears jersey, the green with the yellow pants for Green Bay, gold pants, red unis for the Niners. On the other side of Pittsburgh, for sure, I think the Raiders is awesome. That's why, you know, the Raiders black and silver versus the Cowboys white would be cool. The problem is if you play anybody else, that's the thing about the Cowboys where they can fit because their home uniform is kind of the white one. So you get both, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you kind of get them both. Oh, here you go. What's one? We're talking Super Bowl. What's one? If you could go back and go to, what would it be?
The Dallas. Was it Dallas Bills? You got it. You just said it. Happened
first one.
The first one. Yeah. In Pasadena. There's so much going on off, like between, like pregame and halftime and everything, too. It was like the complete package of a Super Bowl.
See, I think I would go to Giants Bills, Super Bowl 25, for that, just to be in that stadium and see what it felt like because no one really knew for sure with the Gulf War going on what was going to happen. You know, I think there was. Not only anticipation of the game, but I think there was probably also a different vibe that you wouldn't feel at any other Super Bowl than that one. Of course, then you got Whitney belting out the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah.
You have helicopters flying over the stadium during the game to make sure nothing crazy was going to, you know what I mean? And that would have been it would be the most unique, in my opinion, Super Bowl viewing to be there.
Yes.
Because of everything around it. And it was in Tampa. Yeah, there you go, Bart Starr. That'd be cool. I mean, yeah, think about there's all kinds of different. I mean, who wouldn't want to be at Super Bowl III when Joe Namath and the Jets upset the Colts?
Yeah, the guarantee.
Yeah.
That's the one I was looking for.
That'd be a cool one.
Yeah,
Super Bowl
III. Way back.
It was in Miami, too, I think.
So that was in Miami.
Yeah.
I was looking for, I was Googling when that was, Super Bowl III, 1969. Just to see that history. Yeah.
All All right, when we come back, we keep on talking about this. We can switch to the Thunder winning last night. College hoops as well. It's going to be on Sports finishing up on Monday.
Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
The skinny on sports.
You can't say on the air.
Don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Hanging out and wrapping it up on a Monday. Talking a little bit of the stuff, the ancillary parts of the Super Bowl, history of the Super Bowl. Jared, what city has hosted the most Super Bowls?
Phoenix.
This is shocking. Well, are you going to count Tempe as Phoenix?
Phoenix, yeah. Arizona.
I would count Tempe. Only four. Doesn't it seem like there should have been more than that?
It was like a lot.
But only four in the Phoenix area, which that would make it fifth.
Let me ask you this. Does Pasadena count as L.A.?
Yes. Yes, they combined the Super Bowls that were held in the Rose Bowl and the Coliseum.
What about?
And SoFi.
So, okay, that'll be my answer. Now, yeah. No?
Mm-mm.
Miami?
Miami's number one.
Miami.
11. L.A. is number three with 8. Let me make sure they don't deserve one more in case they didn't count that one. Nope, it is 8. They're number three. Who thinks number two? It's not as hard as you think.
You said Miami is one.
Yep.
Who's number two?
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans?
Yep, okay. Number two with 10. So Miami, New Orleans have 21 of the 57. L.A. with 8. Number four is pretty surprising. Tampa. Tampa has hosted the Super Bowl 5 times. Mm. That seems pretty. It seems like that's way too many.
Here's a fun stat.
Okay,
I found this. What do you think was the most attended Super Bowl? It's not what you think. It's not even when you think.
Is it going to be a long time ago?
It's not where you think, and it's not when you think. It blew my mind to see it too.
So it must be a long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away. Oh, Super Bowl I.
No.
Which one?
Super Bowl 14. Which have been the 1979 season.
Okay.
And the Rose Bowl.
The Rose Bowl.
Between Pittsburgh and the Rams. Brought in 103,985.
You threw me off by saying not the Rose Bowl because I assumed it had to be the Rose Bowl because a lot of these NFL stadiums aren't that big.
No, I said it's – you would think – I would have thought Arlington set the record.
And they were like 96 or something.
It's actually 103,219.
Oh, was it? Oh, with all the standing room only ones.
Came in at number four on this list.
Rose Bowl the top three?
One, that's the first one since 2000.
Is the Rose Bowl the top three?
Rose Bowl is the top three.
Yeah.
And not one of them involved the Dallas game.
Yeah, that makes that does make sense to me, just because it's more of a college stadium. I mean, it's not, but it is. And those are bigger state. They just hold more people.
There are five of the top six.
Yeah, that makes – the only one is Dallas.
The only one's Dallas at four.
Yeah, that makes total sense because of how big it is. I'm surprised – like you mentioned Phoenix. Phoenix with only four, it feels like it's been there. But maybe that's because for a lot of those years, the when they did have a team, if they didn't have – you know, the only – all they had was Tempe, which it held the Dallas-Pittsburgh 1995 Super Bowl where at Arizona State. And now that they've – now since the Cardinals have been there, you know, they're – that's that one's in the rotation, right? Mm-hmm. Glendale is in the rotation. San Diego has kind of fallen out. But like Atlanta only three. Man, it seems like – excuse me. It seems like Atlanta should have more than three. Because the Georgia Dome's been there for, well, it's since the Super Bowl 28, which was Cowboys-Bills round two. That one was in Atlanta, probably the first one that was ever in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And so when you think about it that way, if they've only had a stadium for 30 years, they get one every 10. You know, I guess that does make sense. And Miami and New Orleans probably get – oh, thank you, AJ. Probably get more, you know, more often, you know, maybe every 7 or 8 years. Do you think Vegas is going to end up being one of these?
That gets one like every
6 or 7, 8 years?
Yeah, I wonder how much the NFL looks into how the team or how the city has hosted, you know, generosity and hotel accommodations, which is never going to be a problem for Vegas, I don't think. Stuff like that.
Yeah, there's anywhere.
You know, kind of like an Olympic committee where they go, well, yeah, we, you know, they always come out with like, it was exceptional this year.
Well, and it's, I think that's a big part of why Dallas, why Jerry World hasn't gotten one, because the writers, the people, they hated it because it was so far away. I think that's not
from Dallas.
From Arlington.
Yeah. Let's go to Arlington. They've really built that
place
up.
It's different now than it was then. But everybody, it left such a bad taste in everybody's mouth that it's almost like Jerry got pushed out.
Yeah. It's funny because when you think you get a Super Bowl, you think that's going to be such an economic driver where we got the Super Bowl, and it always is. But even with Dallas getting poor grades, it forced them to make it a better area, which drives the economy.
There you go. Yeah.
Like, okay, we got to be better if we want the Super Bowl to come back. So let's build some really cool hotels and entertainment venues and restaurants, and they have in that whole area right there.
It's completely different than it was 13 years ago. Or 14 years ago now.
Multiple hotels that you can just walk there to. Mm-hmm. So they took note. All right, we got to be better.
All right, we had this text. We need a snowy Super Bowl.
No.
I'm out on it too. I don't want it to be that. You know, we almost the Super Bowl, whatever number that was, between Denver and Seattle was in MetLife. And it was like 12 hours away from a blizzard. Remember that?
Yep.
Everyone was so worried about, and they got the game played. And then by like Monday at noon, the city was shut down because of the snow.
Yep.
You know, that's the only, would it be cool to see like snow? Yeah. But I don't want it to affect, you know, just like snow for a second. Hey, this is cool. First snow Super Bowl, then stop.
I mean, you're always going to have that chance of a downpour rain for 10 minutes in Miami.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? But the snow thing, I don't want it to be the reason.
That's it.
I don't want it to affect a game.
That's it. I want them all to be inside on grass, preferably inside. I know that's not possible. But because I don't want the weather to affect who wins the Super Bowl.
Correct.
I want it to be played in pristine conditions with just the best team win.
Yes.
And for the most part, I mean, you're right, outside of Miami, and maybe if they go north again, to an outside venue, and it would really only be New York. I mean, what if it was at Soldier Field or at Lambeau? The chances of the weather not affecting that are about zero, right? I mean, it just, and those places have never going to host it. But I would prefer it not that way. I would prefer, once it gets to the Super Bowl, it being the teams make, the teams decide who wins, not having chances at the weather.
Right.
Do you think there?
Give me the weather for the AFC NFC championship games and all that.
Yeah. That'd be okay, I guess.
You know, because it's going to be a thing if Buffalo's always going to be right there.
If it was me, I would have the Super Bowl in about five places, and that's it: Miami, New Orleans, the Rose Bowl, Vegas, and Phoenix. That'd be about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of wish San Diego got their act together and built a nice stadium.
Yeah, and they don't have a team anymore.
No, they don't.
But those would be, Atlanta maybe. No offense to Atlanta, but Houston, even, it's so overpriced that even if it was in Dallas again, there's no chance you can go, a normal person. I mean, Christian McCaffrey couldn't even afford a suite. You think it's even higher because it's in Vegas for the first time right now, price-wise? You think that's jacked it up a little bit, even above how ridiculous it is anyhow?
It'd have to be, right?
I would think so. I heard Jim complaining about not being able to throw the dice on the weekend because of how high the limits will be.
Yeah, everything's going to be high. That's what I said at the opener about being in the city. Everything.
Yeah.
Is going to be like hotel rooms, everything.
You think the people of Vegas are like, eh? Because here's the thing about Vegas, in my mind. There's going to be hundreds of thousands of people coming to Vegas Super Bowl week anyways.
Yeah.
Without the game there.
No, yeah.
That's a destination for people to go Super Bowl week, just like, NCAA tournament week. So maybe not. Maybe they jack up the prices just like they normally do for the Super Bowl, even though it's there. I don't know.
Maybe.
It may not affect anybody. You're like, we're used to this. This happens every year anyways.
It's true.
But you would think there would be more, even more people.
I could not live in Vegas because it's always going to be a destination city.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go to Vegas for the weekend. How many times did you hear that?
Yep.
I couldn't deal with it.
All right, everybody, have a great Monday. We will be back tomorrow leading up to the Super Bowl, leading up to the high school basketball playoffs.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye.
Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.